voting here. So the settler describes, the Torah describes two censuses. One census in respect to the Israelites as a whole, and another special census in respect to the living. In respect to the Israelites as a whole, excluding the living, a census had to be taken of each and every Israelite from 20 years old and over. So the Torah says, "Siu esrish kol adas mi Yisrael, v'mishkechei som v'beisabei som, v'mispar shem v'iskol zohol v'ruvei som. V'ben esrim shana v'malo kol v'itzit som v'mi Yisrael, tifkidei som v'itzivei som adla." So only one who was already 20 years old, who was fit for service, had to be counted. Anyone younger than 20 years old was not to be counted. Then the Torah says that the Levim had to be excluded from the general count of the Jewish nation. They had to be excluded, but they are not excluded from the census altogether. A special census had to be taken of the Levim. And then the Torah discusses the manner in which the separate census had to be taken of the Levim. So we have to understand two things. Number one, why was it necessary to take two separate centers? Astrology is also a beautiful part of the Jewish nation. Like the other one, why couldn't the census of all the Israelites, including the Levites, be taken in one census? Why two censuses? And then, how is it that the manner in which the census was taken of the Levim was different from the manner in which the census was taken of the Israelites as a whole? And in regard to the Israelites, the Shoashvatim, so only those who were fit for military service had to be included in the census. But anyone younger than 20 was not fit for tzovo, for service, was not included in the census, in the count. And in regard to Levim, any baby, even Chilish Lomar, why the Chilish? That means he's already viable. Less than a Chilish, so we don't even know whether he's viable. So any viable baby, no matter how young he is, had to be included in the count. Why? Now, Rashi, at the beginning of the Sefer, says Hamish. Not Hamish, it's four. That is Posit Menzal. Achesmati is positantes. Achesmati Levi Loisitke. The Sreisham Loisiso, the Serbi Yisrael. So, Hamid Barabe, from Rashi about Kuf Chaval. It's mentioned in both places. Kidayu Legion Shamerach, with his name of Bab. The Barakha Yatsopakum is Boku. שעשיד עולם את זירו על כהנים ונס נכן ומיילו שילמוסו בניבו אומר אביו אינו בכלל ובשם שלי של איתו ובי so Rashi mentions that from the Rosh Rabbe in one robust a reason as why his special count had to be made of the Levim and the Levim were not included in the general count of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Shevet Levi represented Legion Shamar, the divine region, and they had to be counted separate. But that only explains the first question, as to why two two separate counts at the beginning. He does not explain the second question, why the second difficulty, as to why the manner in which the count of the Levim was made differed from the manner in which the count of Klal Yisrael was made. In the general count, so only those who are fit for service were included in the count. I'm 20 years old, but below 20 not. And the special count of the Levim, so any Levi who was a month old, who was Yotza Mechor Nefer, had to be included. This does not explain. True, Kidayim Levyon Shal Melech, who is still Levade, but why does every Levi that is 1 month or over old, why does he have to be included in the count? At the beginning of Bereshis, we find that the Rebbeinu Shalom granted two broches, or gifts, or bestowed two gifts upon them. One broche, one gift, you can call it whatever way you want. You can call it a gift, you can call it a broche, you can call it a license. I mean, each one of these terms is descriptive of this phenomenon that took place in the beginning of creation. So the Torah tells us, Baruch Hashem Elokim, Bayim Alehem, Elokim, Pru, Vu, Yilas, Oretz, Yechifshu, ורדו בדגס היום ובעיף השמיים ובחולחי רוהו ומסס על האורץ. So the Rebbein, here we are told that the Rebbein Shalom bestowed a very important gift upon man, upon the whole human race. Puhu, vuhu, milu, es haoretz, reproduce and multiply and fill out the earth and exercise dominion over it and attempt to control the fish in the sea and the fowl in the skies and to control every animal that creeps on earth. So this is briefly, this represents the gift of Kibush. Now Kibshua does not mean Dakke, military campus. He doesn't say Kipshua bin Milchama. Kipshua! There are all kinds of conquests. A person can conquer a business, he can conquer a country, not only for military might. For Kibush, there are all kinds of ways how to exercise Kibush. To conquer the earth, to control the earth, to curb the earth. This is one gift that was granted to man, and if not for this license that was granted by the Tohu to humanity, man wouldn't have the right, as the Radak says in his Perush Amreshis, he wouldn't have the right even to touch a grass of the earth. We find that until Noach, man was not allowed to eat basar, he was not allowed to kill. If man killed an animal, so he was a trespasser. But after the Mabul, the Rebbeinu Shalom granted a license. But even prior to the Mabul, man had the right to control the vegetative life, to harvest. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom said, "Vayomer Elokim, hinei nasati lachem eskol esev zerei hazera asher al pni chol haoretz veeskol haeitz asher al pni haeitz zerei hazora lachem yeloch lo." So herein we find the license granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to men to conquer the earth and also to exercise dominion over the whole animal kingdom. The whole animal kingdom. This represents the gift of Kibush. Or in English it could be called the capacity to grasp things and how was civilization intended by many people, conquering the world, conquering nature. So that's one thing. But then we find at the beginning of Galatians that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed another gift upon them. Vayikach Adishem Elokim es Odom Vayanichimu V'Gan Eden Ve'Ovdo U'Lishono. Now, so this has two meanings. In a literal sense, you have the means to cultivate the earth. I mean, it says, Vayanichimu V'Gan Eden, because originally, so the intention was, the divine design was, that the whole earth should be Gan Eden, should be a paradise. But because of the blunder and the fall of man, so even the Gan Eden itself was wiped out. But this gift of Vayanichimu V'Gan Eden Ve'Ovdo U'Lishono was not limited only to a small lot, the Gan Eden. The Gan Eden had to extend to the whole earth. And the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed the gift upon man and a license, Ve'Ovdo U'Lishono, to cultivate the earth and to guard. That's the literal sense. But the Medrash Rishim Shtayim Shadrisi Amiru, so he says, Ve'Ovdo Zutfilo U'Lishono Zutamot. In other words, this Medrash does not try to negate the little meaning in Mikonetzim Yipshitein, but both are implicit. Both connotations are implicit in the expression of Lord Rishon. And this gift represents the gift of Chazok. Now, the Halacha recognizes two kinds of achievements. One achievement through the medium of kibush, and the other achievement, the Halacha recognizes, is through the medium of chazok. Now, these two achievements are based upon the two licenses, or the two gifts, that in the beginning of Genesis, the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon men, namely, the bracha and the gift of who knew us all, it's with Kipshua, who do with Kasayom, who do with Hashemayim, Chochayo, and Nes Salonets, and the Broche and the Gir of Vayelecheyu, Vayika Hadishem, and Kipa Sodom, Vayelecheyu, with an Eden, and Yomdo, and Shom. But it is translated in Halachic terms, in two kinds of areas, in the realm of spiritual dimension, in the realm of sanctity, and in the realm of material dimensions, in the mundane area. Now, in the spiritual realm, we know that one can achieve sanctity, kiddush, one can be mikdash, territory, through kiddush. We know, everybody knows, that in the first commonwealth, Eretz Yisrael was sanctified, mikdash, through maizkas, through kiddush. What does kiddush mean? Kibush means through military might, of course. You cannot achieve Kedusha through military might that is not sanctioned by the highest concepts of right. So the halachas, they are prerequisites. It has to be a Kibush Rabbi. What is a Kibush Rabbi? A Kibush Rabbi means that it's sanctioned by your own Ritumi, and by divine inspiration, and by Beis Din HaGadol. So, only it has to be achieved through legitimate kibush. But, whether it's legitimate or not legitimate, but kibush is kibush. In final analysis, kibush means military might, force. It can call it violence, but under certain circumstances. So violence is justified if under the peculiar circumstances of the situation, it is sanctioned by the highest concepts of right. If it is not sanctioned by the concepts of right, so then it's robbery, it's plunder, it's bloodshed, it's miserly. But if it is sanctioned by the concepts of right, So then, through Kibush, you can achieve Kedusha. You can be the Kedusha of Israel through Kibush. And in the first commonwealth, so Eretz Yisrael was sanctified through Kibush. Then, in the second commonwealth, so Eretz Yisrael was again sanctified. And the Rambam passes, most of the Shem passes, the Gush of the Shem, 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 the Shem. So within the 70 years in the beginning, between the first commonwealth and the second commonwealth, Eretz Yisrael had no Gush. There was nothing down to the Gush. So then, the settlement of the Jews, of the Eilim from Bogar, under the leadership of Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, so it again, the land of Eretz Yisrael again became sanctified. How did it become sanctified? For Kiddush. They did not enjoy it. At the beginning of the Second Commonwealth, Israel did not enjoy any sovereignty. They were subject to the dominion of Poras, Persia, and then to the dominion of Greece. And at the end, they were subject to the dominion of Rome. There was a period, a relatively short period, during the reign of the Hashemite, when Israel did enjoy sovereignty. But for the bulk of the years in the Second Commonwealth, Israel, the Jewish people, did not enjoy any sovereignty. But still, Eretz Yisrael was established. So how was it established? The Rambam raises that question. And the Rambam says, The Roman name of the Midrash of Yerushalayim, Dusha Rishim, or Tishon Asigobel. The Dusha Shoah at Yisrael, and the Shim is of Isis, the Chalitza then. So the first Dusha is no Tishon Asigobel, only the second Dusha. But the first Dusha of the Midrash of Yerushalayim is Tishon Asigobel, even the first Dusha. If you should Dusha Samidosh Yerushalayim with Neashkino, Ushkino in Mephilo, the Aroleini of Ashimitzi is with the Sheikhan, the Omer Chachonim, Afal Pishesh Mubi, the Yishosom, Afal Pishesh Mubi, בקבישוסון הנמדי, אבוכינו באורץ בשביל יסודי מייסחייס, אינו יאו מפני שהוא כיבוש רבים, יחיד משנינו ככה אורץ מיודיהם, בוטל הכיבוש, ומפתור מנתנו ממייסחייס ומשתימה, שעלינו מארץ ישראל, וכיבו שאול העזרה וקיצ'ו, מקיצ'ו לכיבוש, בקוס לא עזרה הוא כיבוש, אלא בחזוקו, שירזיקו בו, ופיכו כל מוקים שירזיקו בו אינו בובר, ונזכר לביש הסעזרה השניו, ומקודש הלאי, ואף על פי שנרצח האורץ ממנו, וחיו בשביל סולימייסס על הדרך שבאנו את עצמו. נאותיס דה רמב״ם דיסקוסס נלוכת בסבחירו. ונלוכת בסבחירו דה רמב״ם גזם דיסקוס מיצס הפריז בורץ. הוא אומר דיסקוסס פישס המיטו של יש ירושלים. So we understand this why the Rambam raises the question as to why there is a contrast between Dushas Eretz Yisrael and the Kibbutz of Meisres and Dushas Amigdos של ירושלים and the Kibbutz of Meisres and the Kurim. So, because it has a Shaykhes, with Bisabkhira deals with the Samidosh in Yerushalayim. But why does the Rambam mention Bisabkhira, the contrast between the Dusha Rishenu in Eretz Yisrael, the Gabi Tumis of Isis, and the Dusha Shmi in Eretz Yisrael? After all, this issue discussed in Yerushas Tumis, not in Yerushas Bisabkhira. How is it that side by side with the discussion of the Kitchen of the character of Yerushalayim and Middosh, he also mentions the fact that the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael of the Kedusha Shmiyo in the second Talmud was also Kedusha Shmiyo. Well, the reason is because there is a common denominator as to both, as to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha of Maestres in the Kedusha Shmiyo and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and Middosh in the Kedusha Shmiyo have a common denominator, namely that the Halacha of Kedusha Shmiyo and Kedusha Shmiyo can only apply to any achievement that takes effect through the medium of Kibush. So the Kibush of Shein on Eretz Yisrael was achieved through Kibush. So that's Halacha in Kibush. If the Kibush is achieved through conquest, for physical might, even though it is backed by the highest concepts of might, but anything that is achieved through might, through kibush, has to terminate with the termination of the light. Now, the kedusha in Eretz Yisrael is achieved through the physical might represented by Israel under the leadership of Yeshua ben Nun. The moment they went into exile, so that physical might, that military might came to an end. They went into exile, the Mishamikdash was destroyed. So, a kedusha that takes effect from, that is achieved through physical might, must come to an end through a counterforce of physical might. So, the military might of Nebuchadnezzar terminated the kedusha that took effect through the military might of Israel under the leadership of Yeshua ben Nun. But you're asking, the military might of Israel and the Yeshua ben Nun was sanctioned, collaborated by Urmitumim, by divine inspiration, by the Nagogo. It was sanctioned by the highest concepts of right. And what was Zeru Mazeh, the military might of Nebuchadnezzar or Roshe? It was a military might of brutality, of force, of plunder, of robbery, of murder and bloodshed. How can a military might grounded in bloodshed and violence and plunder and robbery and brutality terminate a kedusha that took effect through a military might that was sanctioned by the highest concept of rights? So that's the halacha. Any achievement that is grounded in kibush, no matter how sublime, how legitimate, and how commendable the kibush is, cannot be everlasting. It must terminate with the termination of the physical might that brought it into effect. But then, when Ezra sent it to Eretz Yisrael, separately Eretz Yisrael, with the handful group of Jews, so then there was no possibility of kibush. So how do I do the kibush? So if it was okay, by settling upon the land. The Nebi told them, "Lo b'chayud, lo b'keilach, ki b'ruchi amar Hashem tzvokeis." So the second kedusha had to be achieved not through physical force, but through hard work, strenuous labor, by settling upon the land, guarding the land, liyovdo l'shamlo. So, an achievement, a kedusha that is achieved and it takes effect through Chazokah is Kitchen Shaita Kisutlon, it is everlasting. So we see that these two gifts have a counterpart in the halacha. The gift of Kibush, of Pur, of Vu, of Midos, of Oretz, of Yeshua, of Vu, of Yitazayam, of Yerushamayim, of Chalchayo, of Meses, of Oretz, and the gift of Yerban Mechila, of Yishen, of Yidan, of Yodo, of Yishomro, have their counterpart in the halacha. In two areas, in the spiritual area and in the mundane area. In the spiritual area, we see that the Eretz Yisrael is capable of being established for kibush. Of course, it has to be a legitimate kibush, not a kibush that is grounded in violence, in brutality. A legitimate kibush. And kibush on the land can be achieved for chazokah. But then, it also has a counterpart in the halacha, in the mundane area. The Gemara says, "Amin meyov tiyahu b'sichem." After all, there is a lot of the Isaac. The Israelites were forbidden to wage war, to conquer any land of Amin or of Meyov, or Totzares Meyov, or Tizgah bar Milchama. Still, Moshe Rabbeinu wage a war against Sichai and Sichai, and then when Moshe Rabbeinu waged the war against Sichai, so they conquered part of Rayarim, which originally belonged to Amin Meyov. So how was Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael allowed to conquer that land that originally was were belonged, originally belonged to Tamu Meyo? The answer is because first Sichel conquered this land of Ibn Ayyad from Amun Meyo. So then Sichel acquired title in the land. And when Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael conquered it from Sichel, they conquered it from Sichel. They didn't take it away from the possession of Amun Meyo, because at that moment, title to the land had not been vested in Amun Meyo. So we see that in the mundane life, so it is possible to achieve through kibbutz. Why? It is all based upon the divine gift that was bestowed upon the whole human race. This gift was not bestowed upon Jews. Adam and Chava were not Jews. The first Jews were Avraham and Tzora. So it was a universal gift that was bestowed upon all humanity. So because of that gift, because of that license, so the halacha declares that through kibush, a nation can obtain title in a piece of land. I'm the mayor of the Odyssey. And then in the mundane realm, so one can achieve through Chazokitu, Karka is Nikon Chazoka. It's a Mishnah in Gush. And the Gemara deduces it from the Pasuk that Shmuel, the Tipsubo. Now that's a mundane dimension. It's not a spiritual dimension. So again, this halacha, that Karka is Nikon Chazoka, is based upon the second gift of the Rebbeinu Sholem bestowed upon mankind. By the Chayyur, Adishem began in them, we all do Rishonbo. And this Chazokah has manifested itself in two aspects. First of all, in the mundane aspect, according to the literal meaning of we all do Rishonbo. And then it also manifests itself in the spiritual aspect, according to the interpretation given by the Medrash Rishon Mishkan for Rabbi Sa'adili, we order the Tfilo in the Shomro Zuchama. So there are two gifts. It seems that the reason is why the Torah required two separate censuses. One censuses in respect to Klal Yisrael. And in that census, only those who are 20 years old, who are fit for service, had to be counted. And another separate count for the Bnei Levi. And in that census, even the little children, any Levi who was late in Chalmeifu had to be included, is because the destiny of Levi is different, is essentially different than the destiny of the other Shvatim. Of course, all the Shvatim represent, constitute Imam Lachas Kiyamim Rebbe Kodesh, but Imam Lachas Kiyamim Rebbe Kodesh cannot be maintained without recourse to the gift and the mandate of Kibush. Of course, the Kibush has to be backed by the highest concepts of rights, but we cannot ignore the importance and the indispensability of the blessing and the gift of Kibush. We have to make sure that it is kept within the legitimate confines of right, but we cannot neglect it. The world cannot exist and cannot progress without recourse to the gift of Kibush. So, because of that, when Yaakov Avinu blessed each and every one of the Shvatim, or when Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed his blessings upon the Shvatim, so we see that the difference between the unique bracha that was bestowed by Moshe Rabbeinu upon Shevet Levi and the various brachas that were bestowed by Moshe Rabbeinu upon the various Shvatim. Now, let's see. What is, let's say, now when Yaakov Avinu blessed Shevet Yehuda, so What did he say? Not sure you. So Yaakov Avinu said, Yehudo, ato yeducho achecho, yotcho beira kivecho, yishtachmu lechob melebicho, kura alu Yehudo, yitere vniyo niso, chora, roba, skiara yehuchelo bimi yikomen, ויוסו שאלת יהודו, ומחיקי כדי רבו, עד כי יום ישיר הידולו יקסמי. So, he blessed him with what gift? With the gift of Malchus. שאלת יהודו was the שאלת to whom Malchus was delegated. How is Malchus established? Through Kiddush. Malchus is established in Kiddush. Of course, the Kiddush has to be backed by the highest concepts of life, but it is grounded essentially in military might, in physical force. That's the mandate of Yehuda. And when Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed his blessing, he similarly said, Vizeis Yehuda, Vayimah, Shema Adishem, Kol Yehuda, Velami Tivenu, Yod of Kovu, Vezam Zolokie. What does this express? Malchus, victory over enemies. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu blessed wood. So what kind of bracha did he bestow upon his wood? Smach, zgurim b'tzisecho, v'nisocho b'yolecho. But when Yaakov Avinu blessed zvul, so he similarly said, zvul v'chifyam v'shkom, v'hu v'chifonis, v'yachosei, al tzivei, yisocha chamei v'gorem, v'in beitz, v'in hamishkisoi. So in other words, Zvulun was blessed with the gift of industry, of commerce, of cultivating. Zvulun was the shevet who went out to cultivate business. And Yisochar, he also curbed nature. Yisochar Hameyagor, Rebit Vein Hamishpesolim. And Yisochar were the Baruch Chochmah, as it is mentioned, because they did dedicate themselves to the domestication of the earth, the control of the earth, curbing the earth. It was all grounded in Kiddush. So all the brachas that were bestowed by Yaakov Avinu and by Moshe Rabbeinu upon the Bnei Yeshvat, with the exception of Levi, were all grounded in Kiddush. Not Kiddush that is grounded has shown in mortality, but Kiddush that goes hand in hand with the concept of life. But Levi, so what was the bracha that Yaakov, that Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed upon him? So, Levi Yoma, to Mecho, Yil Recho, Yish Hasidecho, Asra Nisisi Yimaso, Tiribeira Alim Yeruba, Meruba. So, Yeru Mishpatecho, Yaakov, Yisirosho, Yisrael, Yosimu Ktiro, Ba'atecho, Yichol Yom, Yilbecho. This is grounded completely and exclusively in the gift of Chazok. In the Yobdo, Vayemcheilu Adishem Alekim, Vigamidem, Yobdo Yishomro, and primarily Yobdo Yishomro in the spiritual sense. The way the Medrash Lishim Shtayim Shalabim Se'agriwi explains it, Yobdo Zotfilo, it's a Vedo, to Yishomro Zotfilo, Shevet Levi, is that Shevet to whom it was delegated to be completely dedicated to Avedo and to Torah. Yehu Mishpatecho Yaakov, Yisirosho Yisroel, Yosimu Ktira Da'pecho V'chor Amitchecho, and the Torah forbids Shevet Levi from having any part in the process of Kiddush. They were not allowed to participate in the spoil or in the distribution of the land acquired through Kiddush. Why? Because they had to dedicate themselves completely to Chazakeh and primarily to the Chazakeh in the spiritual sense of the Yovdo Yishomro, the Yovdo Zutfilo, the Yishomro Zutfilo. Now we can understand as to why two separate counts of the moon. One count was the general count. That was the count of the various body whose mandate was the mandate of Kish in various fields. In Malchus, in commerce, in industry, in science, in curbing the earth. But that's all Kiddush. It's not Chazakeh. So, as far as dead senses is concerned, so only one who is fit for service, who is completely suited for the process of kibush, had to be included in the count. But someone who is not even 20 years old, who is not mature enough, who is not suited, to the full process of kibush, he was not included in the count. But Shane Brady, they were dedicated, to them was delegated. The mandate of Chazokah in the spiritual sense, of Leobdo Lishamro, in the sense of Leobdo Zutfiro, Zuabedo, Lishamro Zutalmud, Yerim Shpatechon Yaakov Yisrael Yisrael. So, they have to be counted separately, and you cannot start their training at the age of 20. If it's a training of kibush, it can start at the age of 22. Somebody can be trained as a very good doctor, as a very good engineer, if he starts engineering school, or medical school, or dental school, or whatever school, or business school, at the age of 20. He doesn't have to rush. But in order to be trained in the realm of Chazokah, especially the Chazokah in the spiritual sense of Lodo and Shomo, so it would be great if you start at the age of 20. From the cradle, you have to start instilling the concepts of Torah and Shamayim and Kedusha, dedication, total dedication to Torah and Avodah from the cradle. So that's why the Torah requires that the count of the Rebbeim should include every baby who is already violent. So as long as he's not a Chiddush old, so then we don't know whether he's violent. But if he's a Chiddush old, so then we know he's viable. So then we have to start the training. And if we don't start in the cradle at the age of month, it will be too late. And you'll miss. Not that if you didn't, you shouldn't do it. But you'll miss something. You, in order not to miss anything, you have to start the training in the cradle. That explains. Now, it is well known, and the Rambam was even criticized by a number of people for the point of view he expressed in respect to the Talmud Chachamim being supported by the people. And there is a very strange Rambam in the Daud of Pirkei Avos. The Daud of Pirkei Avos, which unfortunately was abused, misunderstood, and abused, like many other psukim and Mamor Chazal were abused by people who deliberately are trying to misunderstand these psukim. So this Rambam was also abused and was misunderstood. The Rambam says in Pirkei Avos, So there is a very long Rambam, and the Rambam uses very sharp expressions. On the surface, the mamish shakas. But whenever we find an expression in the Torah, in Tirosh Bechzav, in Tirosh Baalpeh, that literally on the surface shakas your conscience, so you have to realize that there is a hidden meaning. It's not to be interpreted. Literally, as Chaim Ojima said, when many complained against him as to why he decided to found Yeshiva in Balozhin, he said in every Bismarck there was Yeshiva. So he encountered great opposition and he felt discouraged even in persevering in his endeavor. So then he went to Vilna and he got encouragement from God. But he was already discouraged because many Talmid Chachamim, many rabbonim in those days. So every rabb in those days was a bilam. So they were very annoyed by his endeavor to set up in Shirin Lalojin the center of Torah, so that the students of Torah will gravitate from all cities to get to Shiva. In every town there was a shul, and there were many shuls. In every shul there was a besmedresh, and in every besmedresh you had tens and hundreds of Jews who learned, and among the hundreds of Jews you had many, many Jews who learned Shas, not once in their lives, but 10 times in their lives, or perhaps more. So one of the rabbonim asked him, why is it necessary to set up a yeshiva malojim? So he said, so Rav Chaim of Alojin said, because the Torah says in respect to the Oral, Yosua Reina Tishiti Mamosai Vachitzi Ode, the Amo Vachitzi Ode, the Amo Vachitzi Kimosi, the Tipisa is in Zor of Toya, the Bayes of the Chutzki Sapeno, Vosiso of Zero Zor of Zor. So the Gemara says in Yule, that I days, Shri Shari is also the Tzale, Bin Shal Zor of Yachot Shalitz, Nosan Shalitz, Mishach Shal Zor, Vishal Zor, Vishal Shalitz, Vichifo, Sposi, Rolina Bizor, Nitzo Mitzupo Mibayis Umachutz. So he put in the Arim Shalitz in the Arim Shalzor, and then an Arim Shalzor again in the Arim Shalitz. So the middle Orei was Shalitz, out of wood, and Kijir wood. And but the other two Areis, so was Shalzor. Now, why was it necessary? Why was it necessary to have three arenas? The answer is, Rav Chaim Lozhin didn't say everything, but that is the gist of his kavanah. Rav Chaim Lozhin said, it's true that there are many Jews who learn Shas in every besmedrash, in every little shtetl, 10 times in their life. But imagine, there is a Gemara in Pesachim. There is a Gemara in Pesachim. Am horetz muta u'nechay im ha-kipurim shechalim u'mishabes. Rav Chaim Lozhin said, I'm sure that many of these Jews who are learning, who learn day and night, and you go in the Shas many times, you ask them, what's the Pshat Mimor? What's the Pshat Mimor? As they say, Pshat Mimor is, you can take an Amoritz and kill him, but he's not in the Shas. But is that considerable? That there is no Messiah Tzor in regard to an Amoritz? Of course, Amoritz doesn't mean Amoritz who is ignorant. Amoritz means one who is Navarre and who is a Roshe. But is that considerable, that a Roshe? So we can kill, and even the biggest Roshe, we must have said, I don't know if we even Mishpo. So if somebody kills someone who was in the Arizona, Baskoye, Beili, before Madim is a Ritzayah, as if he killed an innocent person. And here the Gemara says, I'm all that's not only. But the real said mentions in the name of Avstila Goyen, what it means is that if somebody is not involved in mitzvahs and is not motivated by Mira Shomayim, and he is not deterred by fear of God, so then it can come to such a stage that this Avarian will be ready to Hazochor and Hamoroso in one say, be not too Halim Shabbos, so then there is a Roche of Freddy Hazochor in one say, or Hamoroso in one say, so it's not a lot of it. That's the Pshat anymore. But in order to realize that Pshat, Rav Shlomo Goyen was able to see the Pshat. Why? Because when Rav Shlomo Goyen is on, so it consisted of three arenas. It was Nosan, Oren Shalitz, Visechoren Shalzor, the Oren Shalzor, Visechoren Shalzain, Shalitz, Nimtzo, Mitzupe, Mibayis, and Mechutz, Bizor. What does Zor symbolize? Zor is symbolic of eternity, of perpetualness, of everlastingness. The archaeologists who dug up gold in the pyramids of the ancient peoples, so that gold is unblemished, unstained, unrusted. So gold has the quality that it never rusts. It is the symbol of eternity. So to the top. But then gold has one shortcoming. Without the bias, it never lost. It's able to retain its identity. It doesn't disintegrate. It's all true. But it has one short time. Gold is not fruitful. It cannot bear fruit. It cannot reproduce. It cannot bear flowers. It cannot bear leaves. It's sterile, gold. But wood, on one hand, has a richness. Wood. Because wood tends to disintegrate. And it's God. At the same time, wood, how is wood derived? From trees. So, wood is life. It is able to reproduce, to bear leaves. Leaves and flowers and fruit. So the Torah, on one hand, it's eternal. Chas v'shalom. We cannot change the Torah. We have to adapt our lifestyle to the Torah. At the same time, the Torah is able to be suited to every environment, whether it is the Stone Age or the Metal Age, or it is the horse and buggy age, or the trains age, or the planes age, or the nuclear, or the atomic age, the nuclear age, the same Torah. It's eternal, and it bears fruits, and it has beauty. It bears flowers and leaves and fruits. It reproduces. So that's the reason as to why we have to construct three arenas. Two arenas of gold, the bias and the chutz, in order to impress upon everybody that the Torah is eternal. But also, the inner oven had to be of wood in order that that should bear fruits and flowers and leaves, and there should be beauty. So, the ones of Chaim Vojina say, it is necessary to set up in Shirin Barojin in order to be able to see through, to penetrate through the Arimish Azor, which is eternal. But it can't reproduce, there is no Kechachimish in gold. It can't reduce to be able to penetrate through the Arimish Azor into the Arimish Elites. And so that the Havskriya brain, he knew the Pshat. So, I'm saying this in respect to certain passages in the Gemara, like Amoretz B'tal Milchim B'Makipurim, Shechalimitz B'Shabbos, or the same in Israel, and even the self-enlightened Jews, who don't know anything, and who think that by just reading a translation, they understand what Chazal mean. So, it is, you'll find in many history books, that according to Chazal, so there is no Yisaritzicha against Goyim. I mean, such nonsense. Such terrible nonsense. Why? Because there is a price in Yisachar Sefri, Teif Sheb Goyim, Harik. But Teisus Nabizora says that the Gersi is Teif Sheb Goyim Bishas Luchon Harik. That means, if, let's say, a certain nation attacked us, so we are allowed to defend ourselves, so we cannot say, as some of the leaders of the nations of the world expect us, in other words, that Israel has no right to drop a bomb upon Beirut. Why? Because maybe a civilian will be killed. So in face of a constant harassing by the PLO, so Israel is not allowed to drop a single bomb upon Beirut, because maybe when the bomb is dropped upon a certain building that is in which the PLO Arafat Yimach Shmei placed certain civilians in order to protect himself against any defense by Israel, so Israel has no right. So that's what the Aruch the Brisim Sarasifim says. Teif Sheb Goyim Bishas Mochomo, if a certain nation attacked us, so then they have a status of a raiding. They have a status of a raiding on the collective level, so they have a right to drop a bomb upon the root. And even though there is a possibility that a relatively nice Arab who is a child of one of the PLO so will get killed, it will be very unfortunate. But that's their fault. That's the pshat. In Teif Sheb Goyim Harik. Not Chas v'Shalom, Teif Sheb Goyim Harik, but somebody who doesn't know. So he'll say, they don't quote in the moment, I saw an article written by a certain reform rabbi who is a big ignoramus. So he mentions Rayas from Sukkim, from the Torah, from the Bidim, from Sukkim, even from the Mishnayas and from the Model, from the Tereshim, that it's not the maternal pedigree that determines the Jewish identity of the child, but he's the father. Everybody knows it's not like that. But he has Rayas, many quotations. So the Rambam is quoted as saying that one should not support on the Chacham, what Chas V'Sholem, that the Rambam should say that. But the Rambam, on the surface, appears to say something like that. The Rambam. So the Rambam says, in Pirkei Avot, and in Mishnah Hay, so he says, they, he sarid mi odom, v'zeh ha'loshin ha'mikles, v'shlichu ha'achi, v'nisbu b'pishtet ha'shle ha'dvonim shel yabinu, v'ani ha'porshim. So, the yabinu of the Nachshim, v'sefiz muro, that I'm a Chachomim, don't have to work, and I mean, yes, have to learn, and they don't have to do anything, be mispanis, not snoko. And the Rambam says that those who involve themselves in that kind of lifestyle, and Chalas Hashem, they be lagere. So, but what's the pshat Rambam? Go. That is one Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah. Then on the other hand, the Rambam says, at the end of Hebrew, Rambam says that the Hebrew Rashid and Yelah Rochel Yuvayz, the woman who is not a lady in Achlas Eretz Yisrael will be Zoso. In other words, he cannot have any part in Kiddush, in the fruits of Kiddush. In Achlas Mitnish, who is the Allah is not Hashem. In other words, because his destiny is a destiny of being completely and exclusively involved with Hazor. No Kiddush. Who is the Allah is not Hashem. We shall say, you will hear his Rochel by Yishon. Rochel by Yishon. We mishkot of Hatzadikim, the Rabbi. Shalem Alim, we shkotech in Yaku, Sebos for Yisrael. We fichach, we don't know that the Olam. ולאיכים מלחמו כשאול ישראל, ולאיך על ולזיכים לעצמם בקי הגופם, אלא הם חיל השם, שנאמר, בורך עד השם חילי, ויהיו בורך הוא זיכר להם, שאני נאמר, אני חלק לו ונחלסך לו, ומלשי יפעים גובד, על כל מי שביעי איש מכל בוי העירון, אשר נדבו רוח אל סי, ויבי ממדוי, ולבוד אל עולם בפני עד השם, וישור סי ולאי בי, לודע אסף השם, ועליך יושר כמו שסור הרוקים, ופורח מרצבור אל החשבים ישרדים, אשר ביקשו בי לאודום, הרי זה משכב ישקי ושקודושי, ויהיה בשם חלקי ונחלוס אל העיר ומורים ולומים, ויזכר אל בי אלום הזה, דובו רמס תקלי, כמו שזיקו לקינו אל בלים, הרי דובי דובר השור נימר, עד השם מנס חלקי וכי זה עקתי מיל דרום. ובעודה, mentions that he heard from Rav Chaim that this Rambam really implies that the Rambam passes like a king in Yehoi. In Gemore, in Broches, so there is a Gemore, so Rav Shmuel says, yes, the Yom Shatir Azem Yipicho, Yom Belayla, Yochel Vrenk, so what? Talmud Rey, so, Talmud Rey Ma, Yosafta Dibonecho, Hamid Ben Minak Dar Charetz, שיודם חילים יש בשור של יודם חילשים, דוש בשור של יודם דושים, זה ראה בשור של יודם זה. This is what Rav Shmuel says. And then, Rav Shmuel Yehoi says, אם, אחות, זה ראה בשור של יודם זהירים, and מתירה בשור של יודם תמיתים, and דוש בשור של יודם דושים, so תירו מה תירו לאו, אלו בזמן שישראל ריסן תיניש המוקים, Nirachtam Nasis al Dachim. Now, so Rav Chaim said, in view of the fact that the Rambam says, the Yiskele, anyone who decided to be dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yibodi Rami Lefin Ad Hashem, we shall say Lord, the Yerida Aser Hashem, Baruch Yosho, Mishu Sohu Elikim, Yipolat Mozabor Yerida Hashem Yisarabim, Asher Bikshin Yodom, Hariz Miskad Yishkei Yishkodosh, Yer Hashem Chalchik Nachlos Yerion, Uyom Yerom, Yiskele Yimazer Yerom Ramas Tikoy, Mishizikol Akeron Yerodim. So, the Yiskele Yerom Azer, what does it mean? Like Rapshim Ben Yehoi. Actually, there is a Gemara in Yume. The Gemara says in Yume, that I'm days, in a few minutes, I think. That I'm ليس من بيس רבי חן רוני, כסיב ועשיסה הוא הרי מאיץ, וכסיב ועשו הרי להתישיתי, נשפרנו את המוכחם של מיר, הם יוצאו מלאסס מלאכתי. מי, so, that's our לוחם. ואת התעמת חוכם, so the בני מיר היה מחויב to support him. So, what kind of התעמת חוכם זה כבר? First two, התעמת חוכם ותזכרו שאני נושא, who dedicates himself to ציבו, who makes himself available to the whole ציבו, in regard to shyness, in regard to teaching, people Torah, in regard to gnes chasodim, in any way of guiding them, that kind of Talmud Chochem, so Bnei Yam Mitzuvim Lasis Melachti. And this is the kind of Talmud Chochem that the Rambam discusses in Pirkei Gimel Aruch Nidimu, the one she became a Bilbad, a Rokolim Shvili Shvili Kolboi Aylon, Asher Not Baruch Ha'yitzin, the Yidimu Madoi Eli, Yibodi Olam Bifni Hashem, Mishor Siri Elohim Tiri Tas Eri Shem Vayach Yosho, Mishisol Elohim, Uporak Malzavo Eli Hashpili Sarabu Masher Bikshir Yodom, Hare Zemizkan Miskin Miskadoshim, Yad Hashem Chalke Min Achlos Eli Elohim Eli. So in other words, Warren is completely dedicated to Chazoke. Chazoke in the sense of Lo'ov Ulishomro, Lo'ov Dozu, Tfiro, Ulishomro Zutoro. Warren, who is Moso to the Tzibo, in Yom of Nes Chasodim, in Yom of Toro, who is ready to teach everybody and to pass the Shailas, if he can pass the Shaila, if the Shaila can be passed, and who is ready to guide people. So such a person, Nelireya Mitzum Lassus Melachto. So, this is what Rambam says. The Yiskele Yomazeh Dobar Amaspikwey. The Rambam doesn't mean, this is what Chaim said. The Rambam does not give him a broche. The Rambam was not engaged in the profession of giving broches. The Rambam mentions Aruche. The Yiskele Yomazeh Dobar Amaspikwey. The Yiskele Yomazeh Dobar Amaspikwey. As the Torah required the Israel, to be tumors and maestres, all kinds of matonis kuhune. For the Kiyan Levin, why? That is their salary, because they are not partly involved in the realm of Kibush, but only in the realm of Chazoke. So the male crown Israel is mitzvah to support them. The same Aruche, Talmud Chochem, not in the sense Talmud Chochem, who went through Shas. That doesn't mean that it's the Rosh Inose, but Talmud Chochem in the sense of Not Baruch Eliezer, who will be in my day, when you bring your army of Yadishem, and you show us your aid day, let us as Yadishem, so then Bnei Yirei Amitzum in Asad Rachde, in regard to such a Talmud Chochem, the Rambam wouldn't say that if he gets a salary from the Tzibur or so he's Mechalas Hashem. It's ridiculous. The Rambam talks of people who learn and who are not ready to teach others, who are not ready to involve themselves with the Tzibur, to guide them, to help them, to advise them, to teach them. But they just want to learn, they are big masmidim. They don't want to teach others. Such a Talmud Chochem, if he is not ready to guide others and to be involved in the Tzibur, so the Tzibur is not required to support him, so if he takes money from the Tzibur, it's Doke, so it's Mechal Hashem. But Chas V'Sholem, the Rambam should say, in regard to a Talmud Chochem, who is completely to Rosalim Nosei, who is involved, who is dedicated to the Tzibur, and who is involved in the Tzibur, who makes himself available for everyone, for every man and woman, to help them, to guide them, to advise them, and to encourage them. This kind of a Talmud Chochem, so the Meir is Mitzurim Asas Melachte. So he comes in the same category as Shevet Levi. But Shevet Levi is Manar Bali, so the whole Shevet. So it was delegated to the whole Shevet, without any exception, these Manar Balis, that they should be involved in the area of Chazoke and not Kiddush. Mashenikin, any other Jew, so it wasn't imposed upon the other Shvatim, this Monday. But if any other Jew decides to be involved in the area of Chazoke, so then he acquires the same spiritual status in regard to his madrigi, his spiritual level, as Kehanim Levin. This is what the Rambam says. And when the Rambam criticizes so severely the Talmud Chachamim, who are misunderstood as Doke, the Rambam is referenced to Talmud Chachamim, who content themselves by learning themselves. They learn it of Hayyim, they are all right, fine, but they don't teach anybody else. So such a Talmud Chochem, the Meir Yalat Mitzuri Rasis Melachte, and if the Nat Mitzuri Rasis Melachte, so it merely means that I'm misunderstood as Doke, so I'm Chalos Hashem. But if it's a Talmud Chochem that is the Rosh Hashanah, that Meir Yalat Mitzuri Rasis Melachte, so then they are not Chas V'Sholem, Mechalos Hashem, but they are Mikaduzo.
5:17, Erev Shavuos.
repeat what I said on Sunday. And so there were men going there, and we all heard it, and I can say it again. In general, I don't like to say before Mito or before the Shishiles something that I would not be able to say before Guru. Because whatever I consider as Torah has to be said in the presence of everybody. So maybe I can say, I can repeat the same thing. Maybe now it will be a little more thorough, because of all the audience there, I mean the Guru, so you don't know any Gemara, so. But here I'll mention certain more Gemaras. But it's the same drosha that I delivered on Sunday at the dedication of the Shoah Mitzvah. Now that has to do with the clear of Shmuel. Now Shoah Mitzvah is the first girls' school in America. And it was founded by a certain man. He was a rabbi. It was founded in 1929. His name was Harav Mordechai Volk, and he was a grandson of one of the Deir Hador, that Mordechai Gimpu Yaakov, 100 years ago, he was one of the Deir, in the time of the Pisalevi, the Mordechai Gimpu Yaakov. So his grandson founded the Shulamit School in Baltimore, that is the first girls' school in America. And there was a dedication on Sunday. Thus thou shalt say to the house of Yaakov and tell the children of Israel. The only difference is over there, when I translate in English, I said the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Because I didn't want to say the house of Yaakov, because maybe Senator Jackson wouldn't understand what it means. But that's the only difference. Anyway, so the Medrash Rabbe says, it's well known, Kim Simar bis Yaakov eilu hanoshi. And Simar is Yosh Yaakov. And Bisamir bin Yisroel eilu ho hanoshi. That's one Medrash. Then the other Medrash, then the Medrash says, the Barakaya. King Simar bis Yaakov, Ibu Sanhedrin, Devoshe Yisrael. It's a little strange. I mean, one version of the Medrash says, King Simar bis Yaakov, thus thou shalt say to the house of Yaakov, as reference to women. Doesn't say, I mean, the outstanding women, women in general, all women, all Jewish women. Not that care, I mean, women like Hamel, Bego, I mean, leaders of Klal Yisrael. All women in general. Then the Barachelia. Ken Simar bis Yaakov Ibu Sanhedrin Devoshe Be'Shib Yisrael. So the question is, sometimes we find that Chazal we mention two pshatim, and one pshat might be the reverse of that. So then the Medrash Rabbe should say, Ken Simar bis Yaakov Ibu Anosh. The Barachelia, Kisimu bis Yaakov, Ilu Hoanoshi. But the Medrash doesn't say, the Barachelia, Kisimu bis Yaakov, Ilu Hoanoshi. But the Barachelia, Kisimu bis Yaakov, Ilu Sanhedrin Deo. She didn't saw. Apparently, there is a certain common denominator between Russian in general, Jewish women in general, and Beznagot. Beznagot. Then I raise the question, this Medrash appears to be inconsistent with another Gemara's in Dushanis 3 in regard to the passage. ולמדתם לא יישום אז מלכם נדה בו ומשיף תכו ונצחו וברח תכו לדרך ושאו בו וכמחו ולמור ידוש לי זה פריסס ולמדתם לא יישום אז מלכם ולא יזמי שיח In other words, that we are not mechuyev to teach Torah only to the sons, but not to the daughters. And women are pure as a pomatero. Chabreza says, Kolamlamit is bititero, kirumlam betikves. So we see from this Gemara, in Dushin and Sifri, that the Torah emphasizes the teaching of Torah to boys over and above the teaching of Torah to girls, to women. And here the letter says, when the Rebbeinu Shalom revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, when he revealed the Torah at Mount Sinai, so the Rebbeinu Shalom addressed himself first to the women and then to the men, thus implying that there is a greater emphasis upon the Torah education of women over and above the Torah education to men. How can we reconcile? How can we reconcile these two mamorahs? So then I mentioned that the Ramban Chumash, I didn't want to mention this, because that would have been too much for the audience. But there is this Ramban Sifra Mitzvah, is Masik and Ramban, as to why the Ramban is Masik from the Nuyen HaMitzvah. From the Nuyen HaMitzvah, the Mitzvah Sleisese, Mitzvah Sese, it's one of the Schiras, of the six Schiras. רק אישום הלכון שמונף שחומעים, פן תשתח את הדבורים אשר אורו ינחו, ופן יסור מלבוך פה כל מיני חייך, ואיתה מבנך ובני ינחו, ואימא אשר אמרת את מי הלשם וכך בחירי, במיר אבי שם אליי הכל לי אסרום, ואשמי מזלור, אשר יום בן גירה לי סיכרניון, אשר עם חיים לאדון ובני ירמים. Just to agree with him, as a prophetical statement. In all the Siddurim, there is a certain inaccuracy. They have the Sheish Sfiras. So there is a Shnitzel Hashem that we have to say it every day. But they have Pasuk Tes and then just the first expression. And in the first phrase, in Pasuk Yud, and the rest of Pasuk Yud they don't have. That's not Kedim. Either they just have Pasuk Tes, that I don't understand, just Pasuk Tes. רק ישום לכל שמונה אשר מייקן, כשחזון אשר הולכו, ופה יסור מבית חוקו עם חייכו, ומדייקו מונחו לנחו, פיש! Maybe that's enough. Even the Rishonim will say that Mitzvah being Zeichia, Ma'amid Asina, so it's enough. Who says that we have to recite also? But they had the first phrase in Pasuk Yud. Together with the Pasuk Tes, they had Yem Asher Amarito with Nashim Yachad Echeirei, finish. What does it look? I won't saw a Siddha that has the whole Pasuk. One Siddha. But in all this world, they just said up to Yimah Shamayim Hashitach Bechel. This is inconsistent with the halacha of Kol Psuke Dei Paske Meisha Rui Paske Ma. The Paske Ma, all right, so we have many kashes. But on all the other kashes, so there is a good chance. So there is a special reason. Mashiachin here, if the whole purpose of reciting it is because it's a mitzvah to recite it, so certainly if there is a mitzvah, with the Aisha to recite the Psukim during the Mayim Basinai, and there is a Ocher of Kol Psukim Dei Paske Meisha, Rui Paske Ma, so we should recite the whole Pasuk, not every Pasuk, not in front of the Pasuk. Or maybe we'll just recite Pasuk Tes. Anyway, all right, it's not relevant to our discussion. So the Ramban says that here we have a Reis Hesed that should be included in the Nian HaMitzvahs, in the Nian Reis Hesed. And we have another essay. So it's Masik on the Rambam, is why the Rambam doesn't mention it in the Nian Malach. So it says, you shouldn't make a mistake in saying that the reason is why it's not to be counted in the Nian and in the Nian, because it's just the it's just the creditor of the mitzvah of the Shnantum of Nechav when the Malachim is Melech. So he says, no, it's different mitzvah. When the Malachim is Melech, that's a mitzvah of teaching Torah to our children. Not after our children, Ben Chaveri also. Only his own children have it priority, everything. So that means if a certain child is capable of absorbing, we are, the father is the Chuyeh, to transmit to him God the Torah. It's not thinkable, so he has to transmit to him. He has to teach him the Torah of the Pikeich. Pikeich doesn't mean that every Jewish boy has to be taught God the Torah. It's the Pikeich. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Mashenkin, here we have the mitzvah asay of transmitting, of being matia, the experience of Sinai. Minded our Sinai to our children and to our children's children. And if somebody, so that is a separate mitzvah. Apart from the mitzvah of teaching Torah, we have to imprint emune in Minded our Sinai into the hearts and the minds of our children. And it doesn't make any difference, sons or daughters, the same mitzvah. And Ramban says, if a father, the same thing I said, it applies to a teacher also, if a father fails to transmit the mind of the Sinai experience to the children, so then he is in that way, he's not saying, ואיתנתם לבונחו ולבני בנחו, יהיה מה שעמד בו כדי לשם לקחו את החברי, And in addition, he's in a race, he said. He showed on the whole, she and Nash for me, can teach that as a lot of wrong method. If you assume the book or come in Halifa, we invite him to the method in the method. So Ramban says, if a father fails to implant Maimed Asinai in the hearts of his children, even if he himself learns Kolateku, he's in a lot. He's in a lot in the nest. Because if somebody fails to implant Maimed HaSinai in the hearts of his children, so that means he forgot Maimed HaSinai. He can learn in Dachayom every day, he can learn 10 Dachayomis every day. But if he fails, he doesn't take all the necessary steps to be matik Maimed HaSinai into the hearts of the children, then it means he forgot Maimed HaSinai. He can put out other tongues to him every day. But if he fails to be matik, if Maimed HaSinai into the hearts of the children, it means he forgot Maimed HaSinai. That's what Ramban says. So that's a separate mitzvah essay and separate mitzvah essay. And then the Ramban, and especially Rabbi Bachri, in Russia, he elaborates on it. But Ramban says it in a few words. Rabbi Bachri elaborates on it. So he says, the Pasuk says, וידבר עד שם עריכם איתי חויש כאילו דבור מתים שני וסמונו היו חמריים זה לא סיכר so in other words when we are matic מיימי ועשינו את our children we have to tell them not only the call Hashem but we have to tell them that the call Hashem was heard through the fire of Simon וידבר עד שם עריכם איתי חויש כאילו רמבן חומש So he says here, Rakishom alecho ushna nafshuch ha-meim, pentish tachas ha-dvorim asher olo necho. He doesn't say, pentish tachas ha-dvorim asher shomu oz necho. Pentish tachas ha-dvorim asher olo necho. Asher olo necho. In other words, don't forget, take heed unto yourself, and guard your soul very diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. He doesn't say, lest you forget the things that your ears heard, but lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. Of course, we have to be matic, the voice of Sinai too. There are two things in the Sinai experience. The voice of Sinai, that's the contents of the revelation of the Torah. And then there is the fire of Sinai. Rabbi Bachri says that the fire of Sinai was unlike any other fire. Any other fire, everybody knows, even if someone is not a science student, he knows that the fire has three functions, two beneficial functions. A fire sheds warmth, let's say when it's cold, so you make the fire, so you get warmth. So a fire has the function of shedding, of emanating warmth, and then the fire radiates light. It's dark, you turn on the light. I mean, an electric candle, you keep your candle, a lamp. So there is light. But then these are two beneficial functions. Then fire has another function, which is many times disadvantageous, not beneficial, it consumes, it destroys. But, I mean, how it points out, after all, the fire of Sinai is like a snare, Doya Beish. What is a snare? The snare was also Sinai, in Har Sinai. So the bush burning with the fire, that's named Anuko. So in other words, the fire of Sinai, Rabbi Nachman says, was unlike any other fire, which has the function of consuming, of destroying. So the fire of Sinai was shedding warmth and was radiating light, but it didn't destroy anybody, it didn't destroy anything. So this, when the Torah says, Rakisham alechol, shumanach shechom leiv, and tishlach chambor me masharom lechecho, ufen gosur me rofo, kol bimei chayecho, ויתאיתם לבנונךו ולבני בנךו, גימה שמלתו כנאי שמלתו בחירים. So, the Torah emphasizes השבור מנךו. So, in other words, and the Ramban points it out, Ramban, Rabbi Bachye, that in order to be mikayim, the ויתאיתם לבנונךו ולבנונךו, we have to transmit not only the voice of Sinai. Sometimes a father, a teacher, he can transmit. He's very smart, he's very eloquent, and big by Masbir, and so he can teach Kolate Kole, just the voice of Sinai, but not the fire of Sinai. This is not Torah. Transmission of Torah means that the voice of Sinai has to be coupled with the transmission of the voice of Sinai, has to be coupled with the transmission of the fire of Sinai. And what is the fire of Sinai? Unfortunately, there are some, even in the orthodox who think that the fire of Sinai has to be like the fire to which we are accustomed, you know, the regular fire. So more than it sheds light, more than it sheds warmth, it destroys. No, the fire of Sinai does not destroy anybody. If it is something that tends to destroy and to stir up machlokes and to alienate people, so then it's an age law. It's not a fire of Sinai. A fire of Sinai sheds warmth and it radiates light, but it doesn't destroy anybody. It doesn't destroy anybody. So this is the mitzvah of Hisham Olocho Shmanach Shechomei Pentishkach Esabrom Asherol Elecho Ufen Yusur Nirbocho Koli Milchayecho Dan Elecho Pentishkach Esabrom Asherol Elecho. Even the transmission of the voice of Sinai has to be realized through the fire, just as in Maimad Asina. So Nidvorov Shemaitom Techeish. So whenever a rabbi teaches a child, it has to be Techeish. Techeish. So now this, what the Shem said, we don't have to resort to the shame. I mean, it's a double portion. That as far as we daitam Nivonecho is concerned, it applies to Devas as much as it applies to sons. On the contrary, not only it applies as much, it applies even more. We raise the question that this medrash of Kol Seymar Bisyakov, so Bisyakov in Hanoshi, appears to imply that the Rebbeinu Shalom addressed himself to the women in Israel before he addressed himself to the men in Israel. How can that be reconciled with the halacha of the Manitem is Neichem, who is Biseichem? The answer is, there are two things in Maimed HaSinai, in the revelation of Sinai. The voice of Sinai, the contents of the revelation, and then the fire of Sinai. So, in regard to the voice of Sinai, so the primary repositories of the voice of Sinai are the men. The Mabitim is Melchem, the women is Melchem. In regard, the men, that doesn't mean that women were not mechuyav to teach. I mean, that's again another mistake that many yeshiva people think that it's a tremendous avera if we teach a girl in the morning. It's not an avera, and we don't need the bigger tzaddik than the Chofetz Chaim himself. And the Chofetz Chaim says that our mamit is big detail from around the two place does not apply today. It only applied hundreds of years ago when women could absorb all the concepts of Kedusha, of Tara, of Chesed from the area, they didn't have to learn anything. So then we could say, Kolam Lamed is Bita Tehor Kolam Batiflas. But today, when women are taught everything, and they are taught Tiflas marriage, and they are involved in all the branches of wisdom, so then not only there is no avere of teaching Torah to women, but we are mechuyev to teach Torah to women. The Chofetz Chaim says it. Nobody knows about it. You know why? Because people know only what the Chofetz Chaim says in Mishneh Berurah. But what the Chofetz Chaim says in Pekuta Halacha is unsainte, so we don't know, so no one knows. When I say no one, I don't mean no one. I mean all those who keep on quoting Chofetz Chaim, Chofetz Chaim, they don't know of this Chofetz Chaim. This is insane. Chofetz Chaim says, and now read the Rosh. ונראה יכול זה דווקא בזמנים שלפנינו שכל אחד הוא ידום במקימה ביסו וכבור עשרו ביסו יוחוז עצמאים יצאו כל אחד ואחד ויסנאי בדרך שדור חואב ביסו וכימם הרקוס אפשר להביך ומיידי איתכו וזה הוא ימלכים ממה אשר ותיר ותירו ותסמר בענו ולביסר הישורים הרוקריז בבניסים הערבים שכבור עשרו ביס נשחיף לפני מיהי וגם מוצאו של דור מכנבי איסו כבר ובפרט איסו שמגיע מן עצמו מיום מקסב ושנעמים בוודאי מצוון אבו ורמדום חומוש, נביאים, כסובים, מוסכי חזר, מסכי סומס וכדי כדי שניסה מיס עצמו אידיה נמסינו הרבה שו ונעבו אחר אורו שיוסורו לגמרי מדרך עד השם וידוע כל ניסי יעדוס חסשו I've never seen I mean, they mention so many pictures of Chofetz Chaim, quotations of Chofetz Chaim. This Chofetz Chaim I never see for it, I never saw for it. Never. You don't know about it. But anyway, I just want to mention about the voice of Sinai. You shouldn't think that women are mufker of the voice of Sinai. It's not like that. There is a very interesting story. The Tehillat Tmimo, the Baruch Hepstein, the son of the Erech HaShulchan. Yes, the Baruch Hepstein, Tehillat Tmimo, he says something very, very brilliant. He says, now the Rambam says that Kol HaOlam is Bita Tehillat, Kol HaOlam is Bita Tehillat, why? Because Reid Moshe Baiton Talis. So he says, he doesn't mean Baiton Talis, they are feeble-minded. Baiton Talis means they have the very quick ability in grasping things. You know, there are certain students who are able to grasp things quickly. They'll get A's without working hard. And then there are other students who are not so quick in grasping, they have to concentrate. They don't have such a good physique, but they work hard and they concentrate. So as a rule, this is empirically established. All the great people, the great scientists and the great people, the Nobel Prize winners on the whole were not good students in elementary school, in high school, in college. And those who are the best students on the whole, there are always exceptions. But on the whole, those who graduate always with the summa cum laude, they don't turn out to be such great people. They might be very successful in their profession because if somebody who graduates from Columbia or University of Chicago Law School, summa cum laude, or Columbia University Law School, college laude, so immediately get a good job with an initial salary of $30,000. So they'll be very successful. But on the whole, the great people are not those who get the high marks in school. Why? Because who gets the high marks? The summa cum laude. Always those who have a very good physique. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to work hard. They, he can, you know, to be the calculator, you know, like a computer. He hear what the teacher says and then he spit it out, like a computer. I had many students who had photographic memories and they were able, you know, to speak out everything. I mean, verbatim, even the worship. But I mean, of course, they are very smart. I mean, they have an IQ of 160, 170, very, very smart. But they didn't turn out to be great people. And many times, such bright youngsters suffer because they become, as a result of their superior grasping power, they become maladjusted. Because if they are in the classroom with other children who have to rehearse something, let's say 10 times in order to understand it, and the teacher doesn't even have to talk, he can just say it, he can just say it in a shortened form, a epitomized form, and they understand it. So they become disgusted, they become bored. And when someone becomes bored, suddenly he becomes frustrated and doesn't involve himself in studies. Many of these geniuses, you know, with a high IQ of 160, which only measures, on the whole, it measures the grasping power. It doesn't measure other abilities, thoroughness, and ability to delve into something, to analyze. The high IQ does not measure that. It measures the grasping quality. So, the Theodema says, notion lighting colors means, here's the kasha. Here we say notion lighting colors, in other words, they are, and intelligence-wise, they are on the lower level. And then, the Gemara Nida says, I mean, it's not just a psychological principle, it's halacha, it's the basis of halacha. That's why the Gemara Nida says, that's the reason as to why a girl becomes a devil at 12, and the boy becomes a god only at 13. Because Bina Nos Nakadish Borcho, Beish or Yes and Beish. So he says, at all helps in a dear opinion. He says, Dighton College doesn't mean a figurement. It means Dighton College, he has to be very easy head to grasp, on the whole. So in Mele, that's why the modern Sefer says, our Ramad is bigger than your King Ramad is. But Kibush Nishmas Chochma Beodon, Nishmas Beyamunis. So a boy shouldn't spend too much time learning Hillel, Nichol B'Armonius. The more you learn, Kolagot L'Chavir Yitzri Dov. So why does Rebeza say, Kol HaMamed is B'ti Teot HaMamed Yitzres? The answer is because, see, the Baruch Hashem says that those who are very quick in grasping things, so they are not very thorough, because they content themselves by just understanding the superficial meaning of something. You don't have to work hard. They don't have to work hard. So Mumele, they don't even resort to a help of the level. If somebody does not have such a good physique, so you always ask the Rebbe what's the pshat here, and you can bother the Rebbe too much, so the bother is Haveri, and if the Haveri have goodwill, so they'll help him out. Mashenkin, if somebody grasps things easily, you don't have to say it twice, you say it once, or even not even once, he understands it. So he contents himself. He contents himself with the superficial understanding. He doesn't resort to the aid of the Rebbe of Shimush. And that's why Kolam Lamed is Bitte Teiro, Kibush Nichnas Chochmo, Bo'odom Nichnas Bi'amunyes. But the boys are not so quick in grasping things. So they have to resort to the rabbis